desire and interest in your prayers today and your attention. I've written on the board talents, marriage, and mothers. We have been given time here to the subject of talents and also forbearance. And then we also moved into how those two elements apply to marriage. And we began to speak a little bit about that. I've added an extra word on the end of that this morning. Today is Mother's Day, a very special, important day to recognize. And we want to pay tribute to the mothers today and to learn from you. I would like to start by reading the text that we have been reading from in the 25th chapter of Matthew. There's just two verses, verses 14 and 15. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And he did that for their profit. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." And we have reflected here for some time now how that the Lord gave different talents and different responsibilities and different abilities to different people that are like you and me, people that are you and me, imperfect, still learning, growing. We're people. And also how that applies not just in life, but that the Lord gave differing talents and abilities to people in the church, and that this also applies to marriage, that in our marriage relationships, God didn't make us all the same. He didn't give us all the same talents, didn't give us all the same abilities, but He sanctioned a very precious, sacred union that is called marriage, and gave differing talents for the good of the whole. And we also have read how that the Scriptures teach that marriage indeed is not just about a specific woman and man that get married and become husband and wife, become married, but that marriage represents something much larger than the marriage union itself, but it represents also the marriage between Christ and the church, and that He wants us to learn from literal godly marriages so that we might better understand His purpose in having the bride of Christ, which is His church, being married to Christ. And now, with today being Mother's Day, I would like to recognize one of the greatest talents that is given as part of the marriage union, and that is motherhood. And just as our marriages represent the union between Christ and the church, so does the Lord desire His church to be fruitful and to multiply. and to bear spiritual children within the kingdom of God. And the Lord desires that we as a church learn how to mother and to nurture babes in Christ, showing love and care and concern. And I believe also that the Lord desires that we learn from how He designed natural mothers, that we could watch that, learn from it, and apply what we see and we learn to the spiritual children that are born into the kingdom of God. I have a question this morning for you. Have you ever been in a crowd and heard a baby cry out in distress? Maybe you're on an airplane. I've experienced that a number of times and heard a baby cry out in distress. Maybe you're in a plane, on a plane. Maybe you're at the store. Maybe right here in church service. And you hear a baby cry out in distress. Have you ever noticed what happens? The mothers turn their heads. I have a pretty good view from up here. And I see what happens. And this is how it works. Now, this is general terms. This isn't exactly for everyone, but this is general terms. This is how it works. A baby cries out in distress, and men wonder, well, I wonder whose baby that is. I wonder who's responsible for that little one. And mothers are thinking, oh, that dear, precious child, I wonder what's wrong with that child. And they're wondering, and they have this urge within them when they hear this cry for help to maybe get up and help mother and nurture the child themselves. And have to restrain themselves sometimes because that's not their child. God created that. He put that in women. He put that in mothers. And I'm not saying that, don't get me wrong, don't go away and say, Brother Rod said men don't care about the needs of babies. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that men and women are created differently, and there is something within mothers that reacts to expressed needs of children. And it's beautiful. And I believe that the Lord today wants us to learn from that. Because the Lord He gave a special talent that is part of marriage, that is called motherhood, that is part of being a mother, that tends to give life. None of us would be here today if it weren't for our mother. And not only gives life, but mothers have this special talent and way of sustaining life. And it's a talent that the Lord wants us as the body of Christ to learn from and put to use in His kingdom. And so as we go through this little lesson this morning, I invite you to think about mothers, that natural mothers, and also what God wants us to learn as a body, as the bride of Christ. Because as the bride of Christ, that includes us all. Men and women are part of the bride of Christ. And the Lord desires that His bride, which is all of us, that we would do our part to bring forth children into the kingdom of God by the grace of God, and that we would mother them in a loving way. So we have a little bit of time this morning. Not a lot of time, but I'd like to pay notice to a couple of attributes of mothers that we can learn from today. In 1 Corinthians 13:13, that scripture says that now abideth faith and hope and charity. And it says these three, but the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these is love. And when you think about love and you think about faith and hope, love has the capacity to inspire faith. And love has the capacity to inspire hope. But it doesn't always work the other way around to the same extent. And mothers so starkly demonstrate, mothers are a picture of this truth. If you want to see a true picture of love, love that inspires faith, and love that inspires hope for the present and hope for tomorrow, you need look no farther than the love of a godly mother. So consider. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, when describing love, that it seeketh not her own. Love that goes beyond self. Love that goes to the needs of other people. And I think that that includes giving people the benefit of the doubt. We as people, and this goes along with our Sunday school this morning a little bit, we as people can be so quick to judge other people. We can be so quick to condemn. We are quick to evaluate the motives of other people through our own personal lens, which is often so inaccurate when applied to other people. And we can be so quick to not give other people the benefit of the doubt in life, particularly when it touches us personally in some way in life, or when we feel like that it may make us look better or is an advantage to us or make us feel better, and particularly when we're crossed. But have you ever noticed how mothers come to the defense of their children? You ever notice that? Have you ever heard the phrase, I know you have, this is rhetorical, you don't want to come across a mama bear and her cubs, right? And the reason you don't want to come across a mama bear with her cubs is because it's put within a mama bear, it's her nature to protect and defend regardless, to the very end, regardless of the error that it appears that the cubs have committed. In other words, and again, think spiritually, if you will, if there are cubs that go outside of the boundaries that they should have seemingly stayed within and put themselves in danger in an environment where there are other people that might influence them in the wrong way or do them harm, the mama bear doesn't look at her two cubs and say, well, they shouldn't have crossed that boundary. I guess they're just going to have to learn the hard way. And if that means their life, well, they are the ones that cross the boundary. No, that's not what a mother bear does. A mother bear, regardless of the error that seemed to have been committed, she goes to protect and defend her young. She goes to protect and defend her children. And it may be that the bears wander out just because they don't know. Maybe they weren't just careless, but maybe they didn't know any better. And the mama bear, regardless, is not going to make and have all kinds of reasons to sit back and allow it to take its course and hurt unnecessarily the young. But she's going to protect and she's going to defend. And natural mothers do the same thing with their children. And it seems like that natural mothers do that with their children regardless of the age of their children. You ever notice that? Once a child, always a child in the eyes of your parents. Parents always have children regardless of how old that you are. And we are all children of God today. Regardless of how old we become, we're children. And all of us have needs. And mothers have this innate part of them that when their own children wander outside of what would be termed acceptable boundaries, and put themselves out in a place where perhaps other people would do them harm or condemn or judge or not give them the benefit of the doubt, mothers rise up like a mama bear sometimes in defense of their children. Natural mothers do that. And the Lord wants us to learn from that today. And He wants us to do the same as the bride of Christ. As mothers in Christ, as part of the church of God. That we would be willing to not just seek our own sense of spiritual justice, but that we would live in such a way that we rise up to the defense and the protection not only of newborn babes in the church of God, but of all the children of God. That we would endeavor to protect and defend and nurture and show love in a way that inspires hope and in a way that inspires faith in the one that perhaps did stray outside of some boundaries. Perhaps they did fall. Perhaps they are in an area that they need to be drawn back in. And sometimes it's people that are young in the Lord and they're newborn babes and they don't know any better and they have not been taught and they don't know that the Lord would have them live their lives in this area as opposed to out in some other area. And they haven't learned that yet. And the Lord wants us to learn from the behavior and love of mothers that we would be there to help and to protect and to be a strength and to help draw back that it inspire again. Faith and hope. That children can make heaven their home and not be lost, and that life be preserved and sustained. Don't we want that for ourselves? You know, I don't consider myself a newborn babe naturally. And I've endeavored to live for the Lord for quite a number of years now. But you know what? I still find places in my life, sometimes unexpectedly, that I'm outside of the boundary that I believe that God desires for me to be. And sometimes I'm just as surprised as maybe the ones that notice that something's not right. And I desire and want you to love and protect and defend and provide support for me, even now at this stage of life. Don't you want that for your life? Have any of us arrived spiritually? Is anybody here to the place that they no longer need anybody to be by their side ever? I haven't found that place. And the Lord would like us to learn from the natural attributes and love of a mother with her children, that we too would love and protect and nurture. And to be clear, this morning I am not promoting compromising truth. I am not promoting just live and let live and everybody be happy and just be accepting of whatever. And that's not what I'm teaching, not what I'm preaching. But what I am, in the fear of God, very clearly endeavoring to teach this morning is that we live our lives in a way that tends to preserve life as opposed to squash out life. That we do everything that we can to help inspire faith and hope in those around us, that they might be able to cross the finish line of life and hear those words, "Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." For the last point this morning, I'd like to turn to the 14th chapter of Romans. Romans 14 and, well, maybe we'll read 19 first. Romans 14, 19, 21, and 22 says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify one another." Verse 21, "It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God." Well, there's a lot that could be said about these verses and what they mean and how they practically apply to the lives that we live. This morning, I'd like to consider just for a little bit maybe how a mother exemplifies the truth in these verses. And I guess to start with, have you ever noticed how a mother is willing to do without if it furthers the fulfillment of their children? And I have said this more than once here in this place on Mother's Day, and will probably continue to say it. Well, I grew up And not only did I grow up, I still remain in a home where I have watched this over and over again. Where, for example, if there's four cookies left and there's five mouths, it just so happens that the fifth mouth just isn't hungry for a cookie. And it just happens to be the mother. They just happen to not want a cookie at that time. And if there are three people and there's two seats left to go wherever everybody wants to go, the mother just happens to not want to go that day. Well, I don't think it's just a coincidence. I used to think that when I was young. I was like, what a great deal. Mom doesn't want a cookie. That leaves one for everybody. That just worked out really well. She didn't want one today, and that's great. Until I started seeing a pattern over and over, and it wasn't just cookies. It was other things too. But you know what? It goes farther than just with a mother. It goes farther than just what they eat. Mothers make decisions to make for peace in the family. Mothers make decisions to reach the heart of their children. And to watch out for their children's welfare in ways that keep going and going and going. And to the point that mothers are willing, get a hold of this. We're talking about the church too. Mothers are willing to be misrepresented if it's necessary for them to be misrepresented so that they can tend to the needs of their children. Natural mothers are willing to go without those things that are rightly theirs to have. Justifiably theirs, if they see that it can be to the furtherance of their children. What am I talking about? Their time, but not just their time, their reputation. Their sense of justice. Mothers have a sense of justice too, on what's right and what's wrong. But sometimes mothers will, back to being willing to be misrepresented, you know that sometimes natural children can live in a way or prompt their mothers to make decisions in a way that other people that are looking on can look on and say, why doesn't the mother do X, Y, or Z with her children? Or why are the children seemingly allowed to do this? Or when everybody is together over here, one of the mothers isn't there. And she knows full well that she'll be misrepresented because she's not there and everyone thinks that she should be there, or any variation of these things. But she knows that there is a need in the heart of a child, of one of her children. And she's willing to be misrepresented. She's willing to do without. Sometimes she's willing to be misrepresented with her own children by not justifying her own actions with her children, knowing that they are not ready to hear truth in its fullness. And so she continues to feed milk as opposed to meat at the expense of how she might be viewed by someone. Do you see how this applies to the church too? Folks, the Lord is calling us as the bride of Christ to be mothers to children that are born into His kingdom. He's calling all of us, as we all, men and women, are representative of the bride of Christ. We also are representatives of being a mother to those that are in the church, and to children, and to the newborn, and to the spiritually young. And the Lord is calling on us to be willing to make it not all about ourselves, but that we make decisions that doesn't cause a place of stumbling or hardship, but that we make decisions that make for peace. Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. It is good not to do, I'm paraphrasing now, it is good not to do those things that you otherwise might could do without issue. But if you see that it might cause a place of stumbling for somebody, that it's not all about you, and that we not just seek her own, but that we show love as the bride of Christ, to the children of God, regardless of how old we think the children are. We are called as a body to nurture and to protect and to defend and to give the benefit of the doubt, and yes, to teach truth in love. Teach truth in love, in a way that inspires faith, and in a way that inspires hope. And thankfully this morning, we have live living examples among us that do such things. Thank you, mothers. In a world where motherhood is often underpromoted and not recognized for the value that it has, I am certain today that God in heaven and the men that are here today, we are so appreciative of you and your love and your example to us. And the place that you hold, not only in marriage as a wife and as a mother, but also as having one of the talents that not everybody has, a responsibility and an ability that God has given to you to help teach and show how the Lord wants us all to work in His church. And as the Scripture says, mothers, we indeed rise up and we call you blessed. We are honored to have you here and mother us. And we love you. And we want to say to you today, Happy Mother's Day. May God bless you richly. You are greatly loved. Amen.